a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And good morning. Welcome to a brand new day. Nice to have you waking up with us here on a... My goodness, it is. It's Memorial Weekend, and I think we're actually going to get some sunshine, according to the forecast today and tomorrow anyway. Excuse me. There you go. Turn that up. Your headphones are on the other side.
Thank you, Tim.
It's like I have to re-educate this guy every Saturday morning.
You know, in the course of a week, I'm in so many different radio studios.
I know.
Yeah.
You're such a popular guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. The forecast is actually looking like we're going to get sunshine for the next couple of days. Then we get a repeat of some clouds and some rain on Monday, Tuesday. But enjoy the next couple of days and whatever you have planned or you've been putting off because of the rain and clouds. Get out and do it today. And that includes getting out and having some fun in the outdoors.
Yes, it does.
I'm Tim Hughes. That would be Russ Smith
from Skycall. I was just thinking our lawn guy comes on Thursday. You know, it was dumping rain Thursday.
Yeah.
We had like this hour and a half where it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
They were going.
Well, yeah. Anytime the rain stopped, everybody ran for the lawnmowers because it was getting pretty thick.
Yeah.
And I even mowed mine when it was nasty wet, which causes problems underneath the deck of anybody's lawnmower.
Yeah, you just
gets
it.
Clogged up and everything. But anyway,
about a day and a half window here.
Yeah,
where very little rain, if any.
So you'll get a barbecue in one day or the other.
You think this is the way they talk in Oregon and Washington every day?
No, well, no, because that's a beautiful day to them. As long as it's not dumping rain, it's a beautiful day.
I mean, do you think they say, "Hey, no rain today"? Yeah, let's go.
I doubt it. Nice to have you waking up with us here. On the other side of the glass this morning and pushing all the buttons is Matthew Jalali and our producer.
Good morning.
How's it going? Great.
Yeah.
I was looking at all the trucks and trailers that were headed out of town yesterday, and I think most of them were headed north, or excuse me, south.
Yeah.
Because anybody that has a favorite camp spot on this end of the state knows it's either very muddy.
You'll have to shovel the snow out.
Or it's under snow. Many of them may not be accessible. There's a lot of those roads that aren't open yet because of the snowpack that's still up there.
Since I've lived in Utah, which has been quite a while now, it seems like this is the norm on Memorial Day weekend, is that there's a lot of, I mean, we've had some dry years, but for the most part, there's a lot of mud.
Yeah. You'll have to deal with that, obviously. And most people headed out yesterday early if they were headed south to some warmer stuff. I enjoyed the pictures, by the way, of the boys on the couch.
Thank you.
with the little one, what is he, 3 months now?
He's 2 months.
Two months old.
What's today's date, the 25th? Actually, no, I lied. He's three. Yeah, you're right.
Three months. But
old enough to be propped up on a couch.
We've all been through that, where you get him to sit up just right, run back, get the camera, and take the pictures before he falls over.
Exactly. Yeah, or in this case, it's before his brother decides to get him in, like, a noogie and, like, you know.
Oh.
Reed's already doing the noogie thing.
Oh, yeah. It's not like he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, but he gets really excited, so he'll go from petting his head to, like, hitting him on the head or whatever. And it's like, dude, his head is still soft. You gotta wait for things to harden up a little bit.
Oh, anyway, enjoy following you on Facebook. I hope, by the way, that our listeners have followed us on Facebook. If you're a user of that social media app, make sure you click on the KSL Outdoors radio page, not KSL Outdoors Show. That would be the television, the Channel 5 version of what we do here on Saturdays, but you can follow that page, too. But I posted a lot of stuff this week, and among them was the closures of all of the roads that are still happening out there. We know the Mirror Lake Highway is closed because we talked with Roger Eggett, and you can't get back and forth on the Mirror Lake Highway as of yet. You can get part of the way up, not all the way. Wolf Creek Pass is open.
Oh, finally. Okay.
From Francis to Duchesne.
Good. Good.
East Canyon is open, but Cedar Breaks closed. Guardsman's Pass closed. Lake Powell Ferry is closed. I don't know what that has to do with snow.
Well, it's closed.
It's closed. Yeah. Mount Holly Junction Road closed. American Fork Alpine Loop closed. Monte Cristo is closed. And so that was my point. I think a lot of the people that may have their favorite camp spots on this end of the state probably decided to stay home or made plans to go south.
Got to go around. But I'll tell you, most of the phones that went out this week from SkyCall went south.
Yeah.
Down on the Monument or Moab or whatever.
Which raises another concern, and that is that it's going to be nasty crowded. Bob Grove a couple of days ago posted the line of cars that were waiting to get into, I believe, Arches.
Oh, gee.
And it was all the way up the road.
Yeah.
And if you've been there, you know that it's a fairly long wait just to get to the gate once you're off the main road.
Right, they've got that long road
but
that runs parallel.
But they were all the way out on the road.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know what's going to happen. Something's got to happen down, especially areas I like to go to. I was talking to a customer that was headed down there to hike one of the washes, and he wasn't aware of how crowded it gets now down on Escalante.
Yeah.
And also I had a guy going to the Henrys, and I said, here, take the car antenna. He goes, I really don't need that. I said, you'll be glad if you're sitting in the mud with the rain coming down. I said, and you've got to wait a week to get out.
Yeah.
You'll be glad you have it.
Here's what's coming up on the show today. Roger Eggett, Bear River Lodge. He'll join us in the next half hour. I asked him if he could be on with us at 6:35. He says, is that a real time?
I mean, is that what?
I said, yeah, it sort of happens before 7:30. Yeah. 6:30 comes around.
I ask myself that every Saturday morning.
I know.
Is this a real time?
It shouldn't be on a Saturday, but it is. So Roger will join us. We'll talk about, among other things, the weird weather that's affected the cabins up there. But he's in the midst of actually selling off some plots of land for people to park their trailers up there.
I like that.
Some camp spots that, you know, if you
borrow a few bucks.
If you have a trailer and, you know, can't afford to build a cabin, he's got some nice land spots up there, some of them along the river that you can actually put trailers on.
You know, that's the thing. You get a key to get into fine spot to fish know, of your own, and that's a big deal.
Navidomskis is either in or on his way to Montana, so he will be checking in with us. He took the boys up there. Some of the pictures, by the way, of his son, Mickey, he's been getting into some big fish lately.
Big fish on a little boat.
I don't think we've talked about that, have we?
I think Mike might have talked about it.
So
you were here last week.
The boys, Finn and Mickey.
It was when Joe was here.
I was gone last week.
It's hard to remember.
I know.
He called in last week and talked a little bit about it, just briefly.
Yeah. The boys were up at Bear Lake, and they were on float tubes, and Mickey was using his 5-weight and hooked into a fish.
Wow,
and
5-weight, huh?
Those guys, the kids, are trained enough through their lives fishing with dad to know when they've got a sizable fish on the line. Yeah. So they knew this was going to be a big one. But when it came out, what a surprise. And the video and stuff that I posted on the Facebook is amazing. I'll see if I can pull some of that up later. But they've also caught a couple of other fish that were sizable over the last few days. Matt Leonard's coming in. Matt's been on the show before, but boy, have we got a story for you. A little boy, and what is he, 12?
I think so.
His name is Chase, but they call him Jasper. He's blind. He contracted a rare disorder that took his sight over the last year and a half, but had this dream of getting out and being able to shoot a turkey. He and his dad were very much involved in the outdoors, and we'll get their story.
Yeah, stay with us. Let's see if dreams come true.
But they'll join us at the top of the next hour. And then Jeff Weekly from Rivers of Recovery, he's the chairman of that fantastic organization, is going to join us at 7:35 because Congress, imagine this, is now looking into outdoor therapy as official treatment for veterans for PTSD. And Rivers of Recovery has known this for years.
But there's a lot of outfits like Rivers of Recovery that have proven that. And without them leading the way, this would have never happened.
Yeah. So we look forward to sharing that with you. You hear the music. It's time for us to take a break. We'll come back. We've got some news of the week for you. Oh, and Randy Opplinger will give us a little heads up on Free Fishing Day, which is coming up on June 8th. We'll give you the details of all of that next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Nice to have you with us. Waking up this morning, and yes, we're going to get some sunshine today in the forecast. 70, 72 tomorrow, and we get more 70-degree days, it looks like, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, and for the foreseeable future, after we get through a couple of more bumps on this rainy road here on Monday and Tuesday. So we'll keep that in mind. You got a mouthful over there. You got to turn the mic on.
I know that.
They won't be able to hear you eat, which
just
is
a little bit. Wasn't that much.
Time for some news of the week. And I don't know if I want you to do this with that in your mouth or not. Matt, it's up to you. Help me say good morning to James.
I got it. I swallowed it.
I know.
That's great, guys. Anyhow, basically, I'm going to chime in on the usual topic that irks me so bad is poaching, but this made ABC News, and you probably heard it too. It was 30 deer out, I think, near Colville, Utah, near a landfill. I just found a great big mass of them just littered there, and the ABC News reporter called it insane. And
yeah, but this is not a poaching situation.
Well, what was it? I mean,
they're just dying because they're eating things in the dump that and then consume the plastic that whatever it was they were eating was in. And so they're finding the carcasses of these deer that are decomposing with all this plastic in their gut laying around. And when the story first broke last week, you know, they were talking about the fact that it was Rockport State Park. And the story started to take a turn that people that were going to the state park weren't cleaning up after themselves, and the deer were getting into it. That's not where the problem was.
Yeah, I see the reporter mentioned ingesting plastic and everything, but but I guess they just ate it and died there. The reporter kind of hinted that somebody placed them there. That's where I got confused.
Yeah, they go to the landfill looking for fruit, and I guess the landfill, I'm not all that familiar with the area, but the landfill is across the street or adjacent Rockport.
Right.
And so that's why the parallels were drawn, or the story started to be written about Rockport being kind of not being cleaned up after. But
just across the highway. It's a ways up the road, but my gosh, that's where all the deer are. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, I want to say, unavoidable.
It says one photo shows dozens of decaying deer carcasses mixed with trash on the edges of nearby Rockport State Park. But they come looking for fruit. They're looking for a plastic bag with residuals on it, anything they can eat during the winter, and especially when we have a winter like this.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah, I know it's very severe. I'm just surprised they didn't have a fence around the landfill.
Well,
around here, have a fence.
That's where the story goes next. And Summit County now plans on putting a 30-foot litter fence near a new portion of the landfill and cover the landfill with some heavy rock and soil to shield it from wildlife. So, you know, unfortunately, it's a little late for that deer herd.
Yeah,
it's something that should have been done a while ago, but you know, it's
better now than never, though.
Well, yeah.
You think about it.
And it's not just the severe winter. Right now, it's all the snow that's still on the ground.
Sure.
And we were receiving snow even up to 2 days ago.
Yeah, and that's quite a bit higher than Salt Lake.
And so if they're unable to continue to get to what they want to eat, you know, in their grazing areas, then they're going to go foraging for food elsewhere. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, thank you for shedding light on that. I'm glad it wasn't poaching like they originally alluded to, but
yeah.
It's still sad.
By the way, thanks for calling in. I was hosting Let Me Speak to the Governor the other day. And
you did a very good job, Tim.
Oh, thank
very
you.
Good with the governor.
Yeah, thank you. Good to hear from you, James. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this story this week, too, about the Utah man that died on Everest.
Oh, right. Yeah. I can't think of his name now.
Don Cash.
Yeah, there you go, Cash. Yeah.
55 years yeah. old. He had made it to the summit, and as we have talked about when we've
over
had guys
again.
With phones,
yeah.
statistically, usually fatalities happen on the way down.
Yeah, that's why they try to summit at night.
Yeah.
You know, the ice is solid and everything's good. And
but he died just below the Hillary Step, which we hear our guys that take your sat phones up there talk a lot about. Including Cash, there have been 12 deaths on mountain peaks higher than 8,000 meters or 26,000 feet so far during the spring climbing season. And I think there were a couple of more even after the word broke about Don's death.
And why is that? Because there's more people climbing.
Well,
the numbers are going to go up.
I read into the story a little bit further and found out that the weather has been so favorable, the conditions so favorable, that they have record amounts of people. I don't remember what the number was, who got permits because they looked at the long-term forecast and said, if there's ever a time that I might be able to summit Everest, this is going to be it. So they get in that last climb, and I don't remember, is that Camp 3 or Camp 4 that they leave from to get to the summit? Whatever it is.
There's kind of a camp for it.
There is a long line. There were pictures of the people, the hikers, the climbers that were having to wait. And obviously when you finally make the summit, your group takes a lot of pictures, and then you start your way down and a few more step in. But you're at critical levels there where because of the altitude, your oxygen and everything else is not existent.
And you can't stay at that last camp very long.
You can't, but these people are having to wait in line, and when they get that close, they don't want to turn around.
Maybe when they leave Camp 3, they could have one of those take-a-number machines. Really, and schedule them in. Don't send them up till they're ready to go, impossible.
But it takes so long.
It's irresponsible to send people up to where they can't breathe and then have them wait.
And then have them wait in line.
Yeah.
How would you do that? Because, like you said, they start, at midnight or something and make that hike up, that last stretch at night.
There's just so many variables. It's hard. You'll never see it regulated. It's really the guy that brings the most oxygen wins.
Yeah.
Sure. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And there are those out there that refuse to use oxygen because they want to say they climbed it without any support
that's true. Yeah.
Here's the other story that caught a lot of attention this week, and I talked it up a little bit on our Let Me Speak to the Governor on Thursday, and that is that Nate Rafferty from Ski Utah broke the news that we had 5.125 million skier visits this year. Over 5 million, so it's a record year. And Snowbird just topped, when this story was written, it said 680, but they just topped 700 inches of snow for the season. which is crazy.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is still up there skiing on weekends because Snowbird is open again today, as a matter of fact. Mm. And I looked at the snow totals. There's a 116-inch base at Snowbird right now. And here we are getting ready to go into June. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have the tram running on 4th of July this year, but they're certainly going to be skiing well into, Snowbird announced yesterday, going to be skiing well into Father's Day.
Yeah.
In the next couple of weeks, but just crazy stuff. Excuse me. The snow total, 116-inch base right now, which we've had winters where we didn't get that base all season long, which is crazy. But Mother Nature has really sent it our way this year. That high-pressure system that normally locks it out and keeps it in the Pacific Northwest is non-existent and really is pumping it our way. So, anyway, we've got a lot to do this morning, and we're glad you're with us. Coming up in the next half hour, Roger Eggett will join us live from Bear River Lodge, or probably on his way up there anyway. And we'll tell you about some nice, beautiful plots of land he's got that if you own a trailer and didn't really have plans or desire to build a cabin, here's a way for you to enjoy that neck of the woods with your own spot and a place to camp a trailer, and I think some of these lots, he said, actually could fit two or three trailers on them. Mm-hmm. And then Navadovskis will check in with us from Montana. He's headed up that way fishing. I wanted to see if I could actually get audio from this with Mickey when he caught the big fish. Let me see if I can actually make it pull up here.
Do you want me to give you a dramatic reenactment of it? Or?
Yeah. You know what? We'll try and figure this out during the news break. Dan Bomas is coming.
He is hooked up on Big Mac, fries, drink. It might be a triple. Who knows? It's a hog. And we have this net, and it's going to work. We're going to get this.
A little bitty net.
Finn shows his little tiny net. Anyway, 37 inches. It's a big one. We'll talk about it with Fish Bites coming up in the next half hour. Stay right there.